Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Ben Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. We are live outside Kauffman Stadium right now, getting ready for what we hope is not the final home game of the season for the Kansas City Royals. The Royals are down 2-1 in their series against the New York Yankees. We will talk about almost all of the things that went wrong yesterday in Game 3. We are going to have so many people coming by to visit us today as we are live outside Kauffman Stadium. Jake Eisenberg is going to be out here. Rex Hudler is going to be out here. We're working on Denny Matthews stopping by. It's been a while since I've got a chance to sit down and talk face-to-face with Denny Matthews. Vern is going to be out here. Joe Goldberg is going to be out here. We're working on Cole Reagan's coming out here. All you need to do is keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. We have got you covered up until we hand things off to Josh Vernier and the pregame show. We will get to what happened and what went wrong yesterday in Game 3, but before we do any of that, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive, Carrington. Dial me up right now, 913-586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all around the metro, Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you want a slice or two or you're having some sort of postseason watch party, be sure to visit them right now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, and you're also excited about Game 4 from Kauffman Stadium tonight, the best place to be is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, I want to talk about, as we begin today's show, two of the things that I saw Royals fans arguing about and what went wrong yesterday, and I want to let you know what side of the argument that I'm officially on. I would say that two things did the Royals in yesterday. One was the walks. Now, the walks that this team have given up in this series have been a problem. The Royals and the Yankees have played three games. The Yankees have 22 walks, and the Royals have only 7 in yesterday's game. Two of those runners scored yesterday for the New York Yankees, and that was one of the major differences in the game. So I am not here to tell anybody, if you were texting in 913-586-7965, I am not here to tell you that the walks are not an issue and not a problem and not a reason why the Royals are down 2-1 in this series and now have a must-win game at home tonight to extend their season. The walks absolutely play a part in why this team has a deficit. But the more important stat, the more important reason why this team is down right now is their offense. I think we knew coming into this series, I think we knew coming into this postseason that the Royals offense had a chance to be their Achilles heel. And there was a lot of excitement about the return of Vinny Pasquantino. And we'll give you his numbers coming up in just a bit because let me tell you, Buzz Wolf. But we all knew that the offense was going to be the difference, that the offense was going to be what could potentially eliminate this team. Those problems have popped up. So Rob and I did a little bit of deep dive. We did some analysis here. We did our jobs. I wanted to know, since the playoffs have been expanded, how many times has a team won a postseason game scoring less than 3 runs? Maybe I should have picked 4 runs as being the barometer, but 3 felt like a good number. That's how many runs the Yankees had yesterday. Let me tell you that the numbers were outright staggering. If you are a team since 2022 that has scored less than 3 runs in a postseason game, you are 8-67 in the postseason. 2 of those wins out of that 8-67 are the Kansas City Royals and their 2 wins against the Baltimore Orioles. I'm going to tell you something that seems very obvious, especially to a city and a town that grew up watching Marty Schottenheimer football and watching teams try to win in the postseason 13-10 and 10-3 and try to win low-scoring, grinded-out games. That is not how you are going to win in the postseason. You are not beating good teams. You are not beating anybody if you are scoring 2 runs in the postseason the way that they did yesterday. We gave you the numbers. Teams that score 2 runs or less, 8-67 since the playoffs have been expanded. That is their biggest problem right now. The walks are an issue. I am not here to excuse the walks. It is the offense. That's why they lost yesterday. This team continues to struggle at times to consistently produce and generate offense. In the last 10 Royals home games, they have scored 23 runs. That's not enough. Now, some of that is dating back to the regular season. You got Vinny back in this lineup, and you hope that things are different. And that was just 1 game with Vinny back, so we'll see what that is today. But yesterday, it was not the pitching that let the Royals down. It was their offense that let them down. It was their big three that continues to let you down with Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino. It was this team's inability to get hits with runners in scoring position. It was this team's inability to move runners from first to second and score. That's why they lost yesterday, Rob.
I mean, it is a pretty simple breakdown. The Royals did the things that you're not supposed to do in a game if you want to win. They walked the park, which is both times they've walked the park in this series, they've taken losses. They had, 9 walks last night, 8 walks on Saturday night? That is what Denny Matthews or any Royals fan who has ever listened to a Denny Matthews broadcast will tell you is a first-class ticket to losing. Walking batters. That's reason number one. And reason number two, something this offense was built on all season long, hitting with runners in scoring position, coming in the clutch. We've had conversation after conversation. There have been people on MLB Network that tell you hitting to get an RBI is a skill. Coming back clutch hit is a big deal. Like, those are the stats you hear. And last night, those things did not exist. They walked everyone, and when they had chances to take the lead or get the big hit, they largely came up short. Michael Massey is the outlier here. He had a great clutch hit, but Vinny had a chance to drive in runs, came up short. Yuli Gurriel had a chance to drive in runs, came up short. Like, we can go through the scenarios and the situations where they failed to scratch across a run, and it doesn't matter how good your pitching is, if you can't scratch across a third or fourth run, you are just not winning any game in the postseason and probably not winning many games in the regular season. I think it's correctable because I saw this team on Saturday and Monday night
score 4+ against this Yankee team, including Gerrit Cole. So I think it's correctable, but as of now, offense is really letting the Royals down.
Yeah, no, offense is absolutely letting the Royals down, and this was something that you and I discussed when we were heading into the postseason. I don't have many questions about the Royals' rotation. I know it wasn't the greatest start from Seth Lugo yesterday, but you did not lose this game because of a start from Seth Lugo. Their bullpen hasn't been completely lights out, but I don't know how lights out you can expect a bullpen to be when you were talking about a team that's going up against a Juan Soto, going up against an Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, going up against one of the better lineups in Major League Baseball. Right now, the problem is the offense, and tonight, this team has to give this fan base and this crowd something to cheer about. You've got to get a reason to get people on their feet and get people going. We're also expecting 37, 38,000 people out there. The crowd wants to bring the energy. The offense is going to have to bring the energy today. So I want to hear from you guys. 913-586-7965. Would certainly love to hear you guys' thoughts on what happened in Game 3. I mean, there are two things. I think maybe there are two schools of thought. Maybe your answer is just yes when it comes to this question. It is the walks and how many they have given up in this series. It's also the offense. I mean, if you are getting walked right now 22-7, that is a big difference in your ability to generate offense. And in the game yesterday in which you had to scratch runners across, man, getting an extra 15 base runners over the course of the last three games is certainly going to give you an advantage. But the Royals offense just continues to come up small in those spots, whether it's Bobby Witt, whether it's Vinny, whether it's Salvador Perez. You are just going to need way more offense than you have gotten so far in this series. So we're going to have a lot of people come by over the course of the next 4 hours. We're going to have Vern come out here. We're going to have John Morosi come out here. We're going to have Jake Eisenberg. It is going to be Royals wall-to-wall until we hand things off to the pregame show. All right, coming up on a bit, we just gave you some of the offensive numbers. I've got some more for you to explain how the Yankees have had the biggest advantage in this series. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back into the show today. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to be joined live on location. We are at Kauffman Stadium. We're going to be joined by John Morosi, who covers the games for Fox Sports. I hate to do this, but somebody has to be the one to deliver this message. And you know what? That person might have to be me. So we did our open. You know, I look up all these stats about the offense, and teams are 8-67 the last couple of years if they score less than three runs in the postseason. The top two texts right now on the text line, 913-586-7965. C-Dot, how can you go that whole time without acknowledging how bad the strike zone is for the Royals? The umps are terrible. The next one is Carrington. If the umps would call the game a little more fair, I believe we would be winning this series because they are actually cheating us, and we see it happening in front of our eyes, yet no one is willing to speak on it. Now, whenever I say this message and it's directed towards the Ravens or directed towards the Bengals
or the Bills,
everybody laughs at it. What do I tell you guys all the time is the free space of loser bingo complaining about the officials. It's wrong when the Bengals do it. It's wrong when the Bills do it. It's wrong now when you are doing it. I can't do it. I will not participate. I can't control what you guys do or what any other show is doing. I'm telling you, that is not going to be a reason that is given on this show. Not while I'm here. It is the free space of loser bingo is what it is. And I want better for you guys. You guys mock other teams that lose and do this. Have some respect for yourself. That's my message today to all Royals fans. If you were blaming the umpiring on why the Royals are losing this series. No, they're losing this series. I'm going to tell you why. Now, this is just the economics of baseball and how baseball at times, the money side of it can be a little bit unfair. But the major difference between the Royals and the Yankees right now is the Yankees are able to withstand Aaron Judge not being Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge could possibly be the best hitter on the planet. They say that the hardest thing to do in sports is either play quarterback in the NFL or hit a baseball. Aaron Judge could possibly be the best person in the world at hitting a baseball. He has been terrible in this series. But when you got Juan Soto backing you up, when you got Giancarlo Stanton backing you up, when you got Verdugo and some of the Gleyber Torres, when you got some of them, you know what the Yankees don't need Aaron Judge to be in every single series? They don't need him to be Superman. The Royals won that game, the Yankees won the game without really a contribution from Aaron Judge. He didn't drive in any runs. He didn't have the home run that ultimately decided the game, because you've got other potential future Hall of Fame players surrounding that guy in the lineup that your offense is not carried by one individual. We do this a lot in football, and the same concept applies to what we're talking about here. The Chiefs aren't winning a playoff game if Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones all play poorly. That's just not the way the sports works. Your big-time players got to make big-time plays in big-time games. We all think that Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the three best players in the world. He has one hit in this series. He doesn't have an RBI in this series. Tell me how the Royals are supposed to beat the New York Yankees if that's the case. How do you beat the Yankees in a series if your star, your run producer, the guy who's going to finish second in the American League MVP race, doesn't have an RBI? He is not the only one. This is just not a solely Bobby Witt. Your big three has failed you offensively in this series. Vinny Pasquantino has as many hits in this series as you and I do, Rob. I have zero ABs. I have zero plate appearances. We have the same number of hits, same number of RBIs. He has five strikeouts, one walk. He's not even getting on base for you. Salvador Perez, he's been inconsistent. He's been up and down. Now, he's been the best out of those three, hit a home run in game two, but the difference right now in this series is simple. These two teams have been fairly even for the most part over the first three games of this series. But the major difference is the Yankees, you can withstand Aaron Judge not being superhuman. This is not a series in which Aaron Judge is beating you. He doesn't have five home runs and hitting 350 with 12 RBIs. You are not getting beat by him. No. Yesterday, it was Giancarlo Stanton that beat you. Juan Soto, it feels like every time he comes up, he gets on base in some capacity. Whether it's a hit, whether it's a walk, whether it's doing something. Stanton hasn't had a stolen base. He's been on the Yankees for 4 years, a whole presidential cycle. Never stolen a base, did one yesterday. Got in the scoring range. They're doing some of the little things that the Royals are not doing right now. That's where the difference in this series has been. Your stars and your key run producers, they aren't producing runs. The Royals are not beating a series against a team as potent as the Yankees if Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino have no RBIs. And if they're going to win today, if they're going to turn things around, then those guys are going to be at the center of it. Think about how they beat the Orioles. When they beat the Orioles, they had three RBIs. Bobby Witt Jr. had two of them, and Vinny had the other one. This stuff is simple. It's easy. It is self-explanatory. It's right there in front of us. That's why the Royals are losing this series.
You talk about your dogs need to be dogs. Your stars need to be stars. If I would have told you before the series, hey, Carrington, Kyle Isbell is going to have a nice series. Adam Frazier is going to have a nice series. Michael Massey is going to tear the cover off the baseball. Be alert, because heads up, Michael Massey is becoming a star, one of the stars of the Royals in front of our eyes. And you know what? They're going to give up three runs in game three. You would tell me, oh, the Royals are leading that series. It probably looks like the Orioles series. Bobby's going to be Bobby, Vinny's going to be Vinny, and the Royals are going to get it done. But the role players are doing their job. In the game they won, the role players did their job. In the game in New York, the role players did their job. I made this analogy earlier when we were talking about the show. I said, this is like if Kyle Korver had 15 points. You can't afford to lose that game. The Royals have gotten three games where their role players have stepped up and played very well. Adam Frazier, Kyle Isbell, Michael Massey, those are the guys who are doing their job. They should not be leaned on to be the guys, though. The guys, the ones that you're like, hey, we need our guys to be guys, they're not doing their part. So it trickles down, and you feel when a Melendez is struggling. You feel it more when Renfro is struggling. You feel those things at a higher level because your stars aren't being stars.
Right now, you are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan and 96.5thefan.com. Rob, I do have a question to ask you really quickly here about the Royals and kind of where we are. Now, I understand everybody is super excited about the return of Vinny Pasquantino, and I, too, am also excited about the return of Vinny Pasquantino. Did he maybe come back a little bit too early in all of this? 913-586-7965. Did Vinny come back a little bit too early in this conversation? Because we're talking about a guy right now who is in the heart of your lineup. We're talking about a guy who is hitting three for you right now. Guy's not driving in runs. Guy's not getting on base. You just need a little bit of a better version of Vinny Pasquantino than you have got so far. We're awaiting John Morosi. He's preparing to sit down right now, one of the top baseball reporters and analysts in the game. He is on the call tonight for the game. The coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here in Kansas City on TBS, True TV, and Max. Bob Costas is on the play-by-play. Ron Darling and John Morosi is on the report as well. John, man, happy to see you in person. All the times we've talked, we've never met in person before.
I think you're right. This is it is so great to be here in Kansas City. It's one of my favorite baseball towns. I love the stadium. I love working here. The people are great. So it's a thrill to be back.
How was the environment yesterday at the game?
Fantastic. I loved it. And honestly, from my perspective, the noise was perfect. It was loud. It was really engaged. I thought the crowd overall was tremendous, and it was a tight game, which has honestly been the theme of this entire series. We were actually just talking about it in the car on the way over here with Bob and Ron about how the entire series, yes, the final scores, but even within the games, Carrington, it's all been within two runs. So it's been really tight, great baseball, and I expect more of the same here in Game 4.
So we let off the show today with, I would say, the two biggest sort of reasons why the Royals find themselves down in this series. Let's start with the first one, the walks. The Royals have given up 22 walks. The Yankees have given up 7 walks. If you're going to give a team like the Yankees an extra 15 base runners over the course of the series, eventually those guys score. You give up the 9 walks yesterday, 2 of those runs scored, and that ended up being one of the big differences in the game. I think the Royals pitching has held up for the most part against some of those big bats, but the Royals are just giving up way too many base runners in this series.
They are, and I think that's why for Michael Wacha on the mound tonight, it's going to be a really important tone-setting assignment for him to not walk as many guys as they did in his previous start, not just him individually, but the entire group. Strike throwing has to be the watchword for this team tonight. They've got to be in the zone more often. It includes the bullpen. I think overall it's interesting. I think Serpa has done a better job since really misfiring a lot in game one. He's come back and pitched in both of the last two games. But you're right. I think overall, collectively, the bullpen has issued a lot of walks. You go back to game one, we looked up the stat. In that game, the Royals walked 8 Yankees on the road at Yankee Stadium. No team has ever beaten the Yankees in New York in the postseason walking 8 or more batters. It's never happened. So it is a recipe, to your point, for a loss. And it was the case again last night where basically the margin of victory was precisely that. So I do think that's going to be a key storyline tonight and strike throwing in general. It's now up to Matt Quatrero and Brian Sweeney to find the guys who are going to keep the ball in the zone.
Right now, we're joined by John Morosi. He's on the broadcast tonight on TBS. So I have a stat for you. We looked this up since the playoffs have expanded in 2022. Teams that score fewer than 3 runs, they're 8-67 in the postseason. Like, we mentioned all these other things about walks and all of these things. Man, it comes down to offense, and it's just really difficult to beat a team as talented as the New York Yankees are. You're not beating them 2-1 or 1-0. You just need an incredible pitching performance to do that. The biggest problem for the Royals with me yesterday, it wasn't the walks. It was the offense. You got to figure out a way to get Bobby Witt Jr. going. You got to figure out a way to get Vinny Pasquantino going. This team can't have 2, 3, and 4 be a hole in your lineup the way that it's been so far in this series.
You're right, and I think with respect to Vinny, let's look at him first. He just hasn't been himself because of the injury, and I think there's a pretty significant asterisk beside his name, and it's just the reality of what he's dealing with physically. You've got someone that, by many accounts, really shouldn't even be back by now. I mean, he rushed to be able to get back. So I think you have to almost grade him on a curve a little bit of what he's able to do. I think Bobby has had better at-bats than the numbers suggest. You saw in game one, and think about this. How big was the play that Judge made on Witt first inning of the first game to range up to the wall and into the gap to catch that ball? If that drops for a hit, and that ball was scalded, it's a different first inning. And it's a different feeling for Bobby Witt Jr. if in his first at-bat of the series, he gets what he might have deserved, which is a double. And then everything falls into place. I think he's had better at-bats. I was a little surprised he didn't steal last night. Luke Weaver, I spoke with him on the field after the game, and even Luke was a little surprised he didn't steal last night. So that, I think, was a really crucial moment in the ballgame where if things had unfolded differently, if he's on second base and Salvi still gets a hit, and obviously you don't know for sure if it plays out just like that, but it could be a very different baseball game. So I just thought overall there were a lot of little things the Royals haven't been doing, and you're right. There are some big things they haven't done either, which is a lack of extra base hits from Bobby Wood Jr.
I do wonder if Vinny came back a little bit too early, because we always kind of throw this out there in sports. It's better to have a guy at 80% than have this guy out there at 100%. I mean, Vinny doesn't have a hit in the series, doesn't have an RBI. The guy's hitting third. Like, he is one of your big run producers. Now, I think the problem you run onto on the other end is, well, who's going to take those at-bats? The Royals just don't have three or four other possible names. But I do wonder if, once you kind of get past that emotional boost that I think they did get in the Orioles series with bringing Vinny back, I do wonder now if it's a, hey, did we maybe rush Vinny back a little bit too early, and now we're going to give a guy 20 ABs against the Yankees, and the guy's going to have two hits.
It's a fair point, and I also think we haven't seen the lineup yet today, but you do wonder one option for them. Pham has to play against Cole. The numbers are too good. And I was even a little surprised that Tommy didn't start yesterday. I think he's a great playoff performer. If the Royals liked the at-bats that they saw out of Frazier yesterday and are comfortable putting Frazier into a corner, and so basically you maybe would have the same outfield that you had yesterday, Melendez, Isbell, Frazier, and then you DH Pham instead of Vinny, I know that's a hard decision, especially when you're facing elimination, but it has to be something that you think about. Just based on, Pham has to play no matter what. And so the answer, the question then becomes, who gives you more with an at-bat right now? Frazier with maybe a little more of small ball athleticism, shorter swing path, or are you hoping that Pasquantino gives you more? And it's interesting, that could have been a bloop single in that situation that was caught in the outfield by Volpe. It was an amazing play. If Vinny is a little healthier, it's a line drive into the outfield. It's just, I'm convinced of that. And so I think that's just the reality of where the Royals are. And I do think the Royals lineup tonight will tell us a lot about what internally they're looking at with Vinny's ability to have good at-bats, and also their confidence level potentially in someone like an Adam Frazier.
And that's a big difference between these two teams, and that's just like the economics of the game, where the Yankees don't need Aaron Judge to be Aaron Judge to win these games. Right. Aaron Judge has also kind of been a no-show in this, but you had a home run from Stanton yesterday. You got Juan Soto, who I think has been fantastic in this series, where the Royals, they don't work if Vinny's not good. They don't work if Bobby Witt's not good, where the Yankees, you don't need Aaron Judge to be the best hitter in the planet for you to be able to squeeze across a couple of runs.
That's an excellent point, Carrington, and I think that is the difference, where we've talked a lot about the Royals and how they've been able to overcome the payroll disparity for a lot of the season. This is the type of venue where it shows up, where the Yankees have different options that they can go to for offense, whereas the Royals, to your point, at some stage of this postseason, if Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't hit a ton, they're not going to win. And because, to your point, the lineup is not set up for them to be a great 1-9 lineup. And to your earlier point about the overall run scoring environment and how often you win scoring three runs or fewer, the Royals in a certain way defied gravity in the first round against Baltimore by winning low scoring games. And again, winning low, and in that case, what was the big difference there? Who drove in the game winning RBI in both those games? Witt. At some point, when you don't have a roster of stars, it will fall to either your main guy has to really get it done, or the completely unexpected player has to emerge, which happened a little bit in game two. I
mean, Garrett Hampson.
I was just going to say that. Hampson had, I thought, tremendous at-bats in the first two games of this series, and so maybe he plays a role tonight as well when Tim Hill's in the game. So I still think the Royals have a legitimate chance to win this entire series. Their at-bats against Cole in game one, I think, were pretty good. And as much back and forth there was with Jazz Chisholm about had the Royals gotten lucky, you could have easily said to the Yankees, you're lucky that you weren't down 0-2. If the Royals hadn't walked eight batters in game one, it could have easily been 2-0 to the Royals coming home. So it's a very interesting decision right now and situation for the Royals to find the best lineup they've got with their current personnel going as they're going. That, I think, we're going to learn a lot about how the Royals feel internally with Pasquantino. And the other piece of it, too, is with Vinny, he's a key guy for this team for a long time, Carrington. And so you have to weigh that out. Do you sit someone who's important to you? Do you bump him down in the lineup when he's someone that's going to be a really important player for you for a long time to come? That's why being a major league manager is a really tough job.
Right now, we're talking to John Morosi here for a couple more minutes. He is on the broadcast tonight on TBS. Two more questions, and I'll get you out of here with this. What are the Royals facing tonight in Gerrit Cole?
I think we're seeing someone that will be better, I believe, in Game 4 than he was in Game 1, and that's because in Game 1 he was coming off a really long layoff. He hadn't had high-level pressure pitching in a while at the time he had took the mound for that game. And he wasn't sharp. His command was a little bit off. And I think he'll be better in Game 4. He's actually, we were looking this up earlier today, once before he has pitched the clinching game of a series that his team won to advance to the second round or to the next round. And that was for the Astros, ironically, in 2019. So he hasn't done it yet for the Yankees. Certainly he wants to do that tonight. It's a big part of his legacy, I'm sure, given the contract he signed and why he became a Yankee. So I think Cole, he's on regular rest. He's in rhythm. They'll see a better version of Cole. And I think for Waka, it's going to be up to him to find some ways to differentiate, have greater success against Juan Soto. That changeup's going to have to play in a big way against what is, I think, a Yankee lineup that's starting to get more quality at-bats as the series has gone along.
I forgot about the drama and tension of the Major League Baseball playoffs, so it's been kind of fun. Just being reminded, you know, it's been a while since I've really been locked into the baseball playoffs. And then I get reminded yesterday in your interview with George Brett, oh, the tension used to be even higher because they might just start fighting out of nowhere. You know how crazy it would be today if Garrett Hampson just slid into third base and then just punched the third baseman like that video?
And by the way, Carrington, George Brett was not ejected. Think about that. So it became it was a fun conversation to have with George. And ironically enough, I'm honored now to host a podcast with the Baseball Hall of Fame and Sirius XM, which is called The Road to Cooperstown. I interviewed George earlier this year for an hour about his career, his life, and the Yankee part of that was probably 10 minutes where he talked about the rivalry. And he mentioned this last night on the air where he said back in the day he hated Goose Gossage. And now they're very close friends. Same with Reggie, as he talked about. So the interesting thing, and Royals fans will enjoy this, the Pine Tar game, which, of course, happened subsequent to these LCSs between the Royals and the Yankees, he says the Goose Gossage, still to this day, Carrington, will tell people, I was trying to throw that ball at George Brett's neck and hit him in the neck. And George was able to obviously pull that ball out of Yankee Stadium, and we saw what happened, of course, to Tim McClellan in the Pine Tar game. But Carrington, it's fun history for me to bring that back. And it was, before we started the interview last night live on the telecast, I said, hey, George, you know, happy anniversary. It was 47 years ago. 47 years ago! And so George, as you know, has the energy of a 19-year-old, and he was really excited to talk about those great memories last night.
We got to get back to those pre-free agency days, because you want to talk about when baseball players used to really hate each other. They used to really hate each other
because you're exactly right. He talked about that, too, about how the fraternization before games that you see nowadays never would have happened. There was such contempt. But as he says, in the years since you're done playing, you come to view your rivals a little different way, which I think is healthy and good from an overall picture of life.
That is John Morosi joining us on the show. Be sure to check him out later today on TBS. He's on the broadcast for the game. John, man, it was
Carrington,
an honor to have you stop
my
by.
My pleasure. Great to be back in KC. Thanks for the invitation. You do a great show.
Absolutely. That's John Morosi joining us on location. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Chiefs fans, it's Trent McDuffie. Welcome to The Drive with C-Dot on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
This has been a very interesting discussion and debate, and I'm genuinely curious to get you guys' thoughts on it. 913-586-7965. I think we all commend Vinny for his return. This is a guy who probably shouldn't be playing. I get it. It's the postseason. You want to be there for your guys. This offense definitely needed a shot. They do not win game two against the Baltimore Orioles if not for Vinny. Vinny was 2-for-4 and had an RBI. They had 3 RBIs in the series against the Orioles. He had one of them. So Vinny coming back, at least in the Orioles series, has been a positive for the Royals. Against the Yankees, he is 0-for-12. He does not have a hit. He does not have an RBI. He has 5 strikeouts and 1 walk. Now, this is where I think it is an interesting dilemma. If your response to that, and I'm seeing on the text line, well, who do you want to have those at-bats? That's a very good question when it comes to Vinny. My response to that would be, well, then why is he still hitting third if that's the case? Because the lineup is out for the Royals today. Let me give you guys the lineup as you were driving in. It's the same one it's been. Michael Massey, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny, Salvador Perez, Gurriel, Melendez, Pham, Isbell, and Mikel Garcia is hitting in the 9 spot right now for the team. What would be wrong in this scenario to simply move some things around and right now not have a guy who is in the middle of your lineup, simply moving him down in the lineup? That seems to be the way to handle it if you're the Royals. Now, the Royals obviously disagree. Hey, we're going to go with what got us here. This has been our core, our 2-3-4, and we're going to ride this. And if we lose, we're going to go down swinging with our guys. Today, if there was ever a time to potentially shake some things up and do something a little bit different with the lineup and try to find some kind of spark, I think moving Vinny down to 5th or 6th in the lineup and moving some guys up and kind of rearranging it could have been that potential shot, but obviously the Royals decided against it today.
Yeah, I understand both sides of the argument because nothing about Vinny Pasquantino, the way he's hitting right now, screams that's a 3-hitter. And I understand why. And John Morosi said it perfectly. If he's healthy at 100%, if he's full go, it's a different thing. That play last night that Volpe made, that's a line drive base hit. if Vinny's just a little bit healthier. So I understand why he's not performing to the level that we expect. It's not some mystery to us. But the Royals need to do something to shake up the offense because Pasquantino's sitting in the most prime position in the lineup is hurting them. Like, we saw it in New York. Bobby Witt Jr. Michael Massey gets on base in the second game. Here we go. Vinny Pasquantino comes up short. We have seen it multiple times throughout the series. Last night, Pasquantino comes up. Big RBI spot. Chance to take the lead. He comes up short because he's just not healthy. I'm a major proponent of keeping him in the lineup because when he's in the lineup, I think the lineup is better than with Robbie Grossman or Hunter Renfroe or pick a DH. But I would tell you, if you're going to have him in the lineup, he needs to bat sixth. Flop him and Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham's been hitting this series, and he's hit really well against Garrett Cole in his career. They move Bobby to three, and you go Isbell two. But right now what's happening is not working. I am a proponent of shaking it up, especially with the season on the line. You're going to go down saying we're going to do what we do. Well, what you do is not what you do regular because your best player or your second best run producer is not producing because of his injuries.
Yeah, and I do understand it, and you're right. I think that's what makes this a good argument and how I'm not sure if there's a right answer and you can just simply play the results. The Royals have taken a clear stance with their offense. Hey, this is our top four. Mm-hmm. I would say right now it feels like they're top three hitters or top four hitters. Michael Massey, who was hitting leadoff, who has been very, very good for the Royals.
By the way, real quick, I hate to interrupt. They had him batting later in the order in one of the games. They had Michael Garcia in the leadoff spot against Rendon. So
who shouldn't
you're
be
right.
leading off.
Exactly. I agree with you. He's been a good hitter. I'm cool with him in the leadoff spot. He's been your best hitter. But they have shaken up the lineup once, and they moved Massey around, who's their best hitter. But you're right. He has been mostly consistent as a leadoff man.
Yeah, and some of this, I wonder if you're just trying to rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic, so to speak, of – I mean, it's just guys that are just struggling a little bit or guys that you're not sure are consistent run producers. Like, you can't put MJ Melendez high mm-hmm. up in the order. You're probably not having Tommy Pham bat third for you. Like, the Royals just have a problem right now that I'm not sure if they have all the bodies to solve. And that's why it's so important that if this team is going to win tonight and they're going to win this series, man, you're not winning it because of Tommy Pham or Kyle Isbell. That sounds good. But you're winning this because Vinny gets back on track. Mm-hmm. You win this because Bobby Witt Jr.
Perez.
Gets back on track. You win this because of Perez. You win this because of Michael Massey. I mean, that's the difference right now. The difference in this series is the Royals, for the most part, and I'll say for the most part because of Salvi's home run in Game 2, you've gotten nothing from Bobby Witt Jr., who we think is one of the five best baseball players on the planet, and your three-hitter right now is 0-for-12 and has more strikeouts than walks. That's how the Royals scored two runs yesterday. That's how they find themselves in a deficit and in a must-win game today in Game 4.
And you're right. You can't put Melendez in a high spot in the lineup, and it could just be rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, but coaching at any level, whether it be across the street at Arrowhead, here at Kauffman, managing the lineup, college sports, whatever, is about putting your guys in a position to succeed and keeping them out of positions to fail. Right now, because of his injury and because of how he's performing, Vinny Pasquantino is not in a position to succeed in the three spot. So I understand Q's logic. Hey, we don't want to shake things up. We're going to stick with what we do. We are who we are. This is our guy. I understand all those logical things, but you, by having Vinny Pasquantino batting third, are not putting him or the team in a position to succeed. So my point about Garcia batting leadoff once is you shook up the lineup card once, and I would argue you shook it up to make it worse by having Garcia in the one spot. Why not shake it up again? Why not say, hey, we love you, Vinny. You're still in the lineup. You're still our best DH option. You're still probably our best left-hand power bat. We still acknowledge all those things. But in the three spots tonight, Tommy Pham, whose numbers against Garrett Cole are sensational. Hey, tonight, you know what? In that three spot, we're going to have Perez bump up. You know, we know he's a double play liability, but he is seeing the ball better than you right now. Move Massey to the three spot, and you've already shown a propensity to lead off with Garcia. Like, if you're good, I'm not saying bench Pasquantino, but I'm a proponent of let's try something new because I've seen what they've tried in three games, and it has failed more times than not.
Text line 913-586-7965. Guys, your Vinny argument is so bad, you're stretching. Vinny is our three. End of story. I'm just trying to figure out a way right now for a guy who is 2-for-19 since he has come back from injury, how we get the most out of that individual. I mean, we knew this lineup was struggling when Vinny was out of the lineup.
you were hoping to get a little bit of a boost. Now, let's see what happens today. Today's his birthday. It's a different scenario. Back up against the wall. You get some more ABs. But, I mean, baseball is usually about sample size. You got to let a guy get 100 ABs. Got to let a guy get 150 ABs. Now, you don't get that in the postseason. You get 50 ABs. You get maybe 60 ABs. This could be the last three or four at-bats of the season for Vinny Pasquantino. How are you getting the most out of him? How are you getting the most out of this lineup? And you're going up against a guy in Gerrit Cole who used to be an all-star. Like, this is a game where I would say most of the time the Royals have the pitching advantage heading into the series or heading into the game. They do not have the pitching advantage, at least heading into this individual matchup. The Yankees have the advantage. Your best chance was yesterday. You had Seth Lugo on the mound, home, crowd rocking. Mahomes is there. He's on the Jumbotron. That was your best chance. You have now given up the advantage. You got to steal game four. And then I would say you go into Yankee Stadium in game five, and it is the definition of a coin flip, where I would say that you maybe have the slight edge because of Cole Reagans going in that spot. And if there is really any pitcher left in the postseason that you would really trust in that scenario, Cole Reagans is definitely on the short list of individuals. If this can get to a game five, you feel like you got a shot to go on the road in Yankee Stadium and figure out a way to score. That's been the only place they've been able to score runs so far in this postseason. Couldn't score runs in Camden, didn't score runs yesterday at Kauffman. But you know what? At Yankee Stadium, you can normally always figure out a way to scratch across a couple of runs. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined on location from Jake Eisenberg. We are live outside Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.